Listener supported. WNYC Studios.
And the vision that was planted in my brain still remains within the sound of silence. In restless dreams,
and
I walked alone.
We continue with our Brian Lehrer Show family meeting, our noisy lives. And so far this morning, we focused on the sound side of our busy lives and the emotional and psychological perceptions of when those sounds become noise. So let's talk now about the physical perception of those sounds, our sense of hearing. I'm joined for this by Eric Smuha, Associate Professor of Otolaryngology and Director of Otology and Neurology at the Mount Sinai School of Medicine. Dr. Smuha, welcome to WNYC.
Thank you.
And so I guess you're the guy who people come to with the opposite problem from everybody calling 311 with noise complaints. They seek you out when they can't hear or when the sound is inside their heads, as with tinnitus or tinnitus, right?
Right. So I'm the end product of that exposure.
And we've talked about how sounds have changed over time this morning. Do you have a sense of how the problem of hearing loss is changing? Are you seeing patients now more with self-inflicted hearing loss via concert amplification or too much time with the earbuds or whatever?
I think that's true. Although we probably won't see the end effect of that for several years until these people get older, until the younger generation gets older. But we suspect that increased exposure to noise through earbuds is having a damaging effect on the hearing, and the effect
earbud, can I jump in and ask, earbuds more than the old-fashioned headphones? Because certainly it's not new. Now it's iPods with earbuds, but you can go back to the 80s, and there were, you know, Walkmans with the lightweight headphones that people used to use in those days. Is this different?
I think so. Each generation has its own preference of how they're going to generate sound. But the problem with sound exposure is that it's cumulative. It's additive over time. And so the other problem is that, you know, sound energy falls off over distance, so that when the sound source is directly in your ear, it's more likely to have a permanent effect or a damaging effect than if it's far away.
Listeners, do you have a question for Dr. Smuha about the medical side of sound and noise? 212-433-WNYC, 433-9692. And as your calls are coming in, we're going to try a little experiment, because we lose hearing as we age. We lose higher frequencies first. I've read that shopping malls have experimented with broadcasting very high-pitched sounds, specifically to discourage teenagers from gathering, without scaring away the grown-ups with the bank accounts. Do you think that's real? Do you know that to be true? Do you think that would work?
I think it's an interesting idea. You know, apparently you can predict somebody's age pretty accurately by their ability to hear higher tones, and it's definitely true that the higher tones fall off first.
So we're going to play three tones, and we're going to see if people can actually kind of test a little bit of their hearing, even hearing this through the radio speakers. So set this up for us. We're going to play an 8,000-hertz tone, a 12,000 and a 15,000-hertz tone. Would you expect that people of certain ages would hear one or the other or the other?
Older people will hear less.
According to the YouTube video where we got these tones, just to set this up a little bit more before we do it, most everyone should hear the first one. If you're under 50, you should hear the second one as well. And if you're under 40, the third one. So here we go. So here's the 8,000-hertz tone. Listen. And the next one. And the third one. All right. So I don't know if you heard all those three down the phone line. I heard all three in my headphones. But as a sound doctor, would you use something like that in your practice?
Well, when we have patients with a complaint of hearing loss, of course, we get a complete audiogram. And the complete audiogram will test people up to 8,000 hertz. Beyond that, we don't generally test people, although it has medical relevance. It really doesn't have any relevance for speech discrimination or communication.
And your ears can't repair themselves, right? So what can be done as our hearing gets worse over time?
Your ears can't repair themselves, so the best thing you can do is try to conserve your hearing as much as possible. And there are things that we can't control, like genetics, but what we certainly can control is exposure to noise. And so in terms of what you can do to prevent it, avoiding noise exposure is the number one.
Let's take a call. Maureen in Secaucus, you're on WNYC. Hi, Maureen. What's your question?
My question, doctor, is if one were using earbuds, say the working out in the gym or whatever, is there a parameter for how much time, say in a day, one should use something like that? Since it sounds as though it's detrimental, and one should limit the time per what you said.
Right. I think that all these devices have different outputs, so it's difficult to generalize. But if the next person can hear it clearly, it's too loud. I usually recommend to patients who ask me to keep the device to less than two-thirds of the maximum volume.
Less than two-thirds of the maximum volume. And if another person in the room can hear your earbuds, they're too loud for your safety.
I believe, yeah.
Tim on Staten Island, you're on WNYC. Hi.
Well, hi, Brian. I have some special noise plugs that were I got from an audiologist, and they're expensive, and they were form fitted, you know, with a had to put a mold in.
Plugs? And, you mean to protect you from noise?
Too much noise. I moved into a very, very noisy apartment building last year, and I'm just curious if I have these in for a prolonged period, for say hours at a time. I mean, they're very, they help a little with the noise. They don't help as much as I'd like, but. They because they are form fitting, they're kind of uncomfortable in terms of the pressure, and I'm wondering if keeping them in for a prolonged period, like several hours at a stretch, is potentially damaging to my ears, to my hearing.
Doctor, earplugs?
Definitely not damaging to your hearing. I mean, it'll help you preserve your hearing. Damaging to your ears only if you're roughing up or abrading the skin, or if you have an allergy, and the clue there would be that the skin would be red and tender.
Other than that, don't worry about it.
Other than that, it's a good thing.
Tim, thank you. You know, I mentioned that I was going to ask about how hearing loss can be loud. I have had two different friends who independently said to me, as they've lost some of their hearing, one was actually born deaf in one ear, and said they can't believe how loud it is going deaf, which sounds so counterintuitive. But what they mean primarily is if you're in a restaurant or if you're in any place with a lot of people, it's so much harder to hear whoever is talking to you, whatever sound you're trying to focus on, than when they had full hearing or people with full hearing. Does that ring true to you? Is it in a way loud when you start losing your hearing?
I think that what people are reporting in that case is the distracting effect of background noise, so that when you're starting to lose your hearing, you lose your ability to focus sound. And if you're in a noisy situation, it becomes more obvious, it becomes more pronounced that you're having difficulty hearing, that it requires more concentration to focus on the person you're trying to listen to.
Judy in Westbury, you're on WNYC. Hi, Judy.
Hi. I was hoping to ask the doctor. I was diagnosed with Meniere's this past year with the classic symptoms. I lost my hearing in my right ear, had bad vertigo in the beginning. But now I've wound up with pulsating tinnitus that I have 24 hours a day. And I was just wondering if he could give me some advice on, you know, the latest advances or treatment for pulsating tinnitus.
Sure. Meniere's disease is a unique problem where the ear, the inner ear, starts to degenerate. And so what you describe is called tinnitus. The ringing in the ear, noise in the ear, is a byproduct of the disorder that causes the loss of hearing. So there are many different causes of tinnitus besides Meniere's disease. And the general advice that we give, first of all, is to avoid silence. If there's some background sound, it serves as a blocking of the sound that you hear inside your head. And for different people, different sounds work better to achieve this blocking effect. So that's number one in the treatment of tinnitus. The other thing is, since you asked about recent advances, it's possible to produce a hearing aid or a device that's like a hearing aid that produces this blocking noise that, that people can wear. And so we've increasingly had interest in this and increasingly dispense these in the office.
Judy, thank you. We've got 30 seconds left. Hearing aid technology is really progressing, isn't it?
I think that's true.
Tell me how.
Hearing aids have gotten smaller, so they're less conspicuous. There's something called open mold technology, which allows the natural sound to flow through so that you're only amplifying the frequencies that are down. And they're digital so that they can be programmed for the exact pattern of the hearing loss, but also the programs, more than one program can be stored so that programs can exist for noisy environments and for quiet environments. And lastly, because they're programmable, they can be adjusted or upgraded when your hearing loss changes over time.
Dr. Eric Smuha is Director of Otology and Neurology at the Mount Sinai School of Medicine. Thank you so much.
Thank you very much for having me. It's a pleasure.
And that's our Brian Lehrer Show Family Meeting, Our Noisy Lives. Talk to you tomorrow.